Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Night after President Trump overrode Governor Newsom and sent in the National Guard.
This is about not just immigrants. This is about humanity. They're taking away all the fruit vendors right here. People that work like for a humble, honest living.
The president's travel ban against nationals from 12 different countries goes into effect today. CBS's Torian Small.
What we found in our CBS poll is that more people believe that Donald Trump's mass deportation plan is actually making Americans safer.
U.S. and Chinese negotiators talk tariffs in London today. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell is there.
After the agreement to have this sort of 90-day pause, they've nevertheless been throwing mud at one another.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Lead hazards are bringing Baldwin to the Brew City today. Senator Tammy Baldwin is set to visit a Milwaukee Public Schools building today to meet with parents affected by lead hazards that forced school closures this year. The visit at the Starms Discovery Learning Center comes after the Trump administration fired the entire Childhood Lead Poisoning Prevention Surveillance Branch. That left Milwaukee without on-site expert help as requested by the CDC. In a statement, Baldwin continues to call for federal support and the reinstatement of the lead experts. A fatal boat crash in Waukesha County is under investigation after a 10-year-old died Saturday. A DNR statement says there was a crash on Little Muskego Lake with emergency crews called to Idle Isle Park Saturday morning. The report says a moving boat hit a stationary one, injuring the child, who later died at the hospital. The DNR and the Muskego Police Department are continuing their investigation. There's a big gig incentive for a big blood drive. Donors at this year's Milwaukee County Zoo blood drive will get two free zoo admission passes, parking, and two Summerfest tickets while supplies last. The American Red Cross is hosting the drive at the zoo starting tomorrow. It'll run through Thursday. There's an effort underway to redo report cards. Lisa Hale has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has established a new committee that will be responsible for reviewing and setting new state report card standards. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has recently faced criticism from some Republican and Democratic lawmakers over the post-pandemic testing standards, which they feel are too low. The committee will include over two dozen members from education backgrounds and will begin meeting next month. The identities of the members chosen for the committee have not yet been released.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight. The Brewers opening a three-game series at home against the Atlanta Braves. Veteran lefty Chris Sale on the mound for the Braves against Milwaukee's right-hander Aaron Savalier. The Brewers losing 1-0 yesterday to the Padres. Desperate to score a run. Pat Murphy admitted after the game he gambled, putting in a pinch runner in for Rhys Hoskins in the seventh, saying it was a mistake considering Hoskins could have had another at-bat in the ninth.
It's one of those decisions. Seventh, eighth, or ninth, do you pinch run for your slowest guy? It backfired today. It wasn't the right call today, that's for sure.
NFL Packers minicamp begins tomorrow in Green Bay.
We got a great group of guys. They all know what the main objective is that we're trying to get done here. They know they're going to get those ops that are going to come their way. Some days, some guys might catch more passes than the other guys. It just might be the way it is. You know, I always tell guys, you know, I'm going to throw it to the guy who's open.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thundershower possible early to mid-afternoon. Our high right around 65. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to 55 tomorrow. Sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 72 by Wednesday. Sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early, Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the show Young Sheldon, actor Lance Barber. And we'll talk about the amazing career and life of Michael J. Fox. We are going to light it like it's Monday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news. Great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, June 9th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, despite the rain. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, listening to us on the app, watching us on YouTube or Facebook, or catching us later by podcast. Thanks for starting your day and your week right here. I got a question for you. Was it a good weekend? Was it a productive weekend? Or is it one of those rare times where the weekend just didn't go quite right and you're actually like, okay, let's start over again. It's Monday. Get a new routine going. However it was, it's nice to have you along here. We've got a busy show today. We've got a lot of folks who are going to be stopping in at one point or another to talk about a host of different topics. We will, of course, update the intentional conflict being set up in California by President Trump over immigration arrests, coming increasingly closer to the martial law police state situation of his own making, you know, the thing that authoritarians do best. Also, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here. It is Men's Health Week, so we'll talk about how we guys can take better care of ourselves. But we've also got a story about women's health and the terrible track record on women's health in so-called pro-life states. In our second hour, we'll visit with Up North News reporter Selena Heller. We'll get a check on weekend sports with Jimmy Koska. And we'll visit with State Senator Chris Larson, talking about how Democrats in the legislature have introduced several new packages of bills. There's one about gun safety. There's one meant to affirm the rights of people in the LGBTQ community. Another designed to help defend the state against some of those Trump policies that can hurt residents and the economy. In our third hour, we'll talk to somebody with the Building Trades Council about the ongoing popularity of apprenticeships in the construction trades and how the state legislature can continue providing the kind of support that addresses the state's labor shortage. And then we'll have Jane and or Greg in, Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, to preview their show that comes up right after this one, starting at 9 o'clock all across the Civic Media Radio Network on this rainy Monday. As things get going here, I know that we will eventually get a full check on the weather. Hopefully we'll get Brittany Merlot in here to tell us much more. I can tell you it's going to be a rainy one for a lot of us today, an all-day rain. Tomorrow is supposed to be warm and dry for many, but then an unsettled pattern moves in for all the rest of the week with chances of showers or thunderstorms from Wednesday onwards. So if you were going to plan anything outdoors, Tuesday just might be the way to do it. So let's see. Tony says we did it perfectly. He writes on YouTube, I finished mowing just as it started to rain Saturday, and then went to Duluth on Sunday to stock up on food. I had the same experience yesterday with the yard work and getting it done just ahead of the rain. In fact, that was my Facebook post yesterday afternoon, was a kind of a split image of the weather radar with a little blob of heavy rain just as it was about to move into Chippewa. And then the other half of the photo is my feet in a hammock because we got all the yard work done. We went through all the landscaping. Sherry did a lot of the weeding. I did some trimming, mowing, you name it. Could see that the weather was going to change. And so my plan was to spend a good hour or so in the hammock yesterday. That didn't happen, but we got all the work done. So I took the obligatory picture of me in the hammock for all of about 30 seconds, Parker Olson. But sometimes that's all you need. It's just that moment of victory to say, we got it all done. The first drops of rain start to hit my face, and I go, all right, hammock time is over. That's it.
That's all
but
right.
But I made it. I made it. How was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Did a little bit of work with Madison Mallards, shooting a couple of games. Supposed to be a surprise party for my dad, but you know how surprise parties are when you're trying to trick somebody. Mm-hmm. That doesn't usually go too hot. So he figured that out like the day before. His birthday is today. So
he figured out the surprise party?
Yeah. Too many people were asking him to do stuff at 2:30 on Saturday.
Ah, yeah. You got to coordinate that better, the diversions.
He just kept saying no. We couldn't get him. Pieced it together. No, why does Gar want to play golf with me? Why do Nick and Parker want to take me out for a beer? What is happening?
I think he caught on really early. That's just how good passive-aggressive people deal with these things. So
that's my guess, yeah.
Oh, well. I'm sure that he still managed to have a good time.
Oh, yeah. He was happy with it.
Even without the surprise. So that's good. And the Madison Mallard games, are those you had a couple of games this weekend? Or?
Yeah, a couple games. Okay.
Good crowd?
Saturday, Sunday. Pretty good crowds of both. In the crowd on Saturday was our very own Luke Mathers.
Our own Luke Mathers?
Yeah. Got him on the video board even.
You got him out of Sun Prairie. Yeah. That's a big deal. You know, usually he just works and sleeps. It's nice to see he can find some time for recreation.
It was weird to see him in the wild, yeah. I did not expect
Luke
that
Luke Mathers in the wild. Yes, if you have any sightings of Luke Mathers in the wild, text us, 855-75-CIVIC, or use that Civic Media app to reach out to us as well. You can also leave a voice note. We've played those on the show before. And so, yeah, you can use the voice note feature and, of course, the comment section where all kinds of our friends hang out to wish us a happy Monday, and we appreciate that very much as well. And if you're going to listen to the show later by podcast, may I recommend Spotify as a way to go to that app and subscribe to us. And if you can't spell Kreitlow, that's understandable. Just honestly, Spotify, look up Wisconsin Politics, and up will come our show because we talk so much about Wisconsin news and politics. This was a very interesting theater week for me, Mr. Olson. I've never been in a play. I can't say I've been to a ton of plays, and yet we did watch some of the Tony Awards last night, in part because I loved Hamilton so much. Can't believe that's been 10 years now. So they had this 10th anniversary. Well, they said they were going to have a 10th anniversary with the original cast. And you know how this goes on the award shows, which start at 7 o'clock. And they're like, coming up, a reunion of the original cast of Hamilton. And then the next commercial break, coming up, the original cast of Hamilton. At some point, we realized what they should have said is, coming up in the next 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
So long asleep by then. So didn't get to see that. But there was another Broadway play that I watched and a lot of other people watched without being on Broadway, and that was Saturday evening when CNN provided a live televised appearance of one of the last runs of Good Night and Good Luck with George Clooney playing Edward R. Murrow. And I have never seen a Broadway play, televised live like that before, and it was incredible. And I liked the original movie Good Night and Good Luck, where George Clooney wasn't playing Murrow, he was playing Fred Friendly, a CBS News president. But again, that was 20 years ago, and I just wasn't sure if I would like the play or not. And it was tremendous. And I have no idea if you can go stream that now or if it's available somewhere. But if it is, and if you have any interest in that, I would highly recommend watching Good Night and Good Luck. Not just because it's a good story about Edward R. Murrow and, CBS News and the Red Scare with Joseph McCarthy, the junior senator from Wisconsin, But I mean, it is downright chilling, the parallels to today, where again, you have people in high places trying to intimidate people in the media, and you have people in the media backing down. You know, you have Paramount, parent company of CBS, trying to reach a deal right now, which would make CBS News look bad, even though they did nothing wrong. And yet ABC News settling. So if you know nothing about Edward R. Murrow, CBS News, and McCarthyism, that's fine. Watch it. Get a sense for what happened then. And tell me you don't notice the parallels to today either. And it was just good entertainment.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out. I have not heard of that. I am a musical person, so I will have to look that up. Look at that.
Oh, you like doing musical shows?
Yeah, yeah. I was in three musicals when I was in high school. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like leading roles or supporting? I mean, are you known for belting out a particular song?
Not particularly. No, I did have a lead ish role. What year was that? My sophomore year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was the mayor. I was Mr. Mayor of Whoville.
Of Whoville?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Alicia puts on YouTube here, I was stage manager for a musical in college. Yes. Yes. Tony's asking about the handsome and capable Luke Mathers at the Mallard game, and he asks, did something go wrong behind the scenes at the Mallard's game, and Luke solved it capably?
Not that I know of. No.
Yeah. But the thing is, he could have.
Oh, he could have.
That's the thing. Oh. He could have if he'd wanted to solve a problem.
For how janky the setup is at Northwoods League for those live streams, he definitely could have solved something.
Yeah. but you guys made it work, and that's wonderful. All right. Hey, I want to call your attention to Dan Schaefer's work, political editor of Civic Media, and of course, founder of the Recombobulation Area. He is going to be guest hosting the Maggie Dawn Show on Tuesday, along with Angela Lang from Block. And it's at that point, shortly before the show, that Dan is going to publish a column that's going to have a lot of people talking. And so, Dan will preview it for us tomorrow morning, and then you'll want to catch him on the Maggie Dawn Show coming up on Tuesday afternoon to learn more about a very important column that he's going to be publishing this week. Wisconsin Democrats will have their state convention coming up this next weekend in Wisconsin Dells. They will be selecting a new chair for the state party, also other executive officers and resolutions, all the other usual business, and of course, all the usual speculation about whether Governor Tony Evers will say anything about running for a third term. Now, he has said previously he won't decide anything until after the budget process is all done. Needless to say, there will be a lot of delegates there, you know, with their fingers crossed, hoping that he changes his mind. And, you know, they're the first ones to hear any kind of an announcement, you know, up or down on a third term campaign. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about a week from today after that convention. Also, in our daily newsletter at Up North News, which you can sign up for over at upnorthnewswi.com, we've got, I did mention before, the, you know, so-called pro-life states and their high infant mortality and child poverty rates. So we've got that there. But also for National Dairy Month, there's a little trivia in there about Wisconsin and dairying. Parker, let me bounce one or two of these off you before we go to break here. Wisconsin produces what percentage of all the cheese in America?
Oh, boy. It's got to be a big number. Give me...
Not necessarily. I mean, it's only one state out of 50.
I mean, so. Yeah, but it's Wisconsin. Yeah. Come on. Give me 65%.
No, 25. One quarter of all the cheese in America is made there. How many different varieties of cheese? If I said give me a number between 250 and 1,000?
Oh, 400.
600? Not bad. Not bad at all. Let's see. I'll give you another one. 90% of Wisconsin milk is made into cheese. I bet a lot of people didn't know that.
Wow.
90% of Wisconsin milk is made into cheese because, again, there are enough other dairies, farms, cows around the country that, you know, it's not that our milk gets shipped out, but so much of it gets made into cheese. And later on, maybe I'll share the trivia about why do fresh cheese curds squeak? There is an actual reason that explains it. And we'll tell you all about that at some point. Or you can sign up for our newsletter and learn more, upnorthnewswi.com. From the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds signed two election bills May 2nd, one of which includes provisions for poll workers to challenge the citizenship of voters in the polling place, a ban on ranked choice voting, and a higher bar for third parties. Among several new provisions, House File 954 authorizes state election officials to access federal agency databases and gives local election officials authority to challenge citizenship of a registered voter at the polls. A recent presidential executive order now allows access to those databases. If a voter is not able to provide documentation at the polls, they would be forced to use a provisional ballot. Only days before the 2024 election, the Secretary of State's office challenged the eligibility of over 2,100 registered voters. Most were naturalized citizens or data errors, while 277 were registered non-citizens. Of those, only 35 voted out of 1.7 million ballots cast. Pro-voter groups argue such mass challenges intimidate legitimate naturalized citizens from voting. Two provisions in 954 attempt to protect major party power. It bans ranked choice voting for any election in Iowa and raises the bar for third parties to field candidates. Third parties now need to garner 2% of the vote in three consecutive elections to qualify for the ballot. We have more on HF 954 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Just about 6:23. I'm Pat Kreitlow, founding editor of Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but we so appreciate this partnership that we do five mornings a week from 6 to 9. And then you can follow what I do the rest of the day over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News belongs to Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network. And you can find what all is happening on our side of the fence over at couriernewsroom.com. That includes all kinds of videos, columns, newsletters. Let's see, there's video series that are on there as well. And a couple that I wanted to tell you about here. Of course, we've got our friend Mark Jacob that you hear on Friday mornings. And he has a newsletter called Stop the Presses, which you can get at stopthepresses.news or couriernewsroom.com. And his most recent column says, you defeat Trump by concentrating on consequences. He writes, as the Trump regime tries to bum-rush our democracy with one outrageous move after another, the media scramble to cover them all. Too often, the developments get reported piecemeal, a cancer study canceled here, a false statement about autism there, and the public feels overwhelmed. And criticism that focuses on Trump's persona simply doesn't work. Trump's biggest supporters are never going to be turned off by his crude behavior, Mark writes, or his rampant dishonesty. He makes his base of mostly white, mostly male voters feel good about themselves by sending a message that they own this country while women and people of color are just renting. So instead of making the coverage about Trump, keep the focus on the consequences of his ideas. More food poisoning because of a lack of restaurant inspections. More cases of measles because of vaccination cutbacks. More lung cancer deaths because of the cancellation of programs that get people to quit smoking. Supporters of Trump may not understand what it means to fire inspectors general. They may not care whether children in Africa starve to death because of the trashing of foreign aid. But the MAGA crowd does notice when prices go up or the government services they like get cut. That's an excerpt from Mark Jacobs. Get the full column over at couriernewsroom.com or set up a subscription that comes to your inbox. Go to stopthepresses.news to get more from Mark Jacob. And again, so many other columns, podcasts out there that we'll tell you about from time to time in the coming days. But as far as Trump goes, obviously the flashpoint right now is in California, where you have a president that is intentionally, even though he said he was going after, you know, the criminals and terrorists, has decided to just go trolling in Home Depot parking lots and round up brown-skinned people who have been working, paying taxes, supporting families, helping keep our economy alive. But again, when your policy is based on race rather than actual reality of solving problems, you could see where this would happen. And so an analysis piece in the New York Times by Tyler Pager says, it is the fight President Trump has been waiting for, a showdown with a top political rival in a deep blue state over an issue core to his political agenda. In bypassing the authority of Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom to call in the National Guard to quell anti-ICE protests in Los Angeles, Trump is now pushing the boundaries of presidential authority and stoking criticism that he is inflaming the situation for political gain. Well, no kidding. I mean, again, this line, he's pushing the boundaries of presidential authority. No, he's on a collision course with martial law, and that's what he wants. He wants his administration to get things done at the end of a barrel of a gun if need be. That's who he is. He's been trying to tell you this from day one. The sad part isn't that he's doing it. The sad part is that there are people that cheer him on for that and who want to see this. Fortunately for us, there are still some checks and balances left, and one of the checks and balances is the First Amendment and the freedom to protest and to show other people that this is not something that is right. It doesn't sit well. But again, coming back to Mark Jacobs' point, it's a waste of our resources. We have never had a more important time for immigration reform to keep this economy going. We already know what the worker shortages are like, and yet Trump blew up a bipartisan agreement that could have fixed all of this. He's been wasting our resources, bringing the military into Los Angeles in order to pick up people off the street at a Home Depot parking lot? Is that where your tax dollars should be going instead of the things that actually benefit you, your life, and your economy? This guy's wasting your money on a big old military parade that's going to be coming up next week. He's got a bill right now that would put another $3 trillion into the national debt. There's nothing fiscal conservative about this guy. It's a guy who is part of a group that would love to see the country continue to be divided by skin color, by gender, by sexual preference, and of course, by political differences. He has seen what people in other countries do about political differences, closing down other political parties or at least rigging the game so that his opponents can't get further into power, or at least provide some checks and balances. This is who he is. So when you watch this week, as things continue to unfold and hopefully unfold peacefully, but remember that this is not some kind of chicken and egg thing where it's like, I don't know, did this start with the protesters? Did this start? No, this has always been Donald Trump's intent to have a showdown like this that would lead, if need be, to armed conflict. Because again, the things that we're bringing back into this country that we never thought we'd see again is just stunning. Things that are worse than Watergate, things that are more corrupt, things that may be more deadly. We remember Kent State. I don't know that he does. Maybe he does. And a lot of people go, well, that was a good starting point. Keep all this in mind as you watch what he does with your resources, your time, and our national reputation, and our Bill of Rights and more in the coming days. Kristen Lyerly is on the way. Thanks for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. More live from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The high price for beef cattle have a lot of dairy operators thinking twice about the animals they'll keep. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Cody Koster is one of the dairy analysts with EverAg. He said this is a trend the dairy industry's been watching for months now. And he said there's currently a lot of money on the table for dairy operators that want to give up some of their heifers and baby calves. And they are.
It's just kind of caught everyone off guard on how expensive some of these prices have gotten and how much beef the world is actually eating as far as protein goes. And if you look at the heifer shortage, it kind of makes sense as we roll forward. If there's less heifers to produce milk and a lot of them are getting bred more to the Angus type animal, I mean, there's folks that have said, hey, we can make a lot of money, more money off of some of these cows, these heifers that are going to calve. You're talking almost $6,000 by the time it calves. So you sell the heifer and the calf right there, and you've made quite a bit of money off of two of those animals right there.
Cody Koster, a dairy analyst with EverAg. He also notes that with the loss of those heifers and baby calves to the beef market, we should expect a milk slump, possibly as soon as this fall. Markets in overnight electronic trade on a Monday morning, not slumping, a little bit mixed. I've got details next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
No change in barrel cheese on Friday. The 40-pound block cheese dropped 6 1/4 to 185 and 3/4. AA butter finished the week down 1/4 at 255 and a half. This morning, July corn's up a penny. December new crop down a penny at 448. July soybeans currently 2.5 cents higher. November is up a penny and a half at 1038. July wheat, that's a penny and a half higher, 556. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now, nickel lower, 1879 a hundredweight. There's a quick market snapshot on a Monday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thundershower possible early to mid-afternoon. Our high right around 65. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to 55 tomorrow. Sunny and a bit warmer with a high of 72 by Wednesday. Sunshine with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. State Senator Kelda Royce will be here with our weekly Joint Finance Committee update, as well as headlines from Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
A Manny Machado home run was all it took for the San Diego Padres to beat the Brewers yesterday and take 2 out of 3. The bats have just gone quiet again. Well, not entirely, just with runners in scoring position. The Brewers have certainly found a way to get on base, but in key situations haven't been able to score. And so some very low scoring games this weekend. We'll see if that can't change with a new series still at American Family Field, but now it's Atlanta that comes to town. The pregame will get started at 6:05 this evening on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Let's see. The NHL Stanley Cup Finals return tonight with Game 3 in Miami. Edmonton and Florida are tied at one game apiece. Oklahoma City beat the Indiana Pacers last night in the NBA Finals. That series is tied at one game apiece. The Game 3 will be played Wednesday in Indiana. And also, let's see, Jimmy Costa will be on just over an hour from now, and we will be talking about the weekend in sports. Very busy for postseason action in high school sports, baseball, softball, track and field, women's soccer, boys golf, boys tennis. There's a lot going on out there, and Jimmy will have much more about it, like I said, sometime in our next hour. But let's bring in Dr. Kristen Lierley, host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I believe that happened this weekend.
It did. We talked about Pride. It was so much fun.
That's wonderful. And let's see, then you were in Chicago. Mm-hmm. You've seen a concert, right?
Yeah, we went to go see Kendrick Lamar and SZA at Soldier Field, which was really great because Soldier Field usually doesn't have a lot of entertainment. So this was something new.
Yes. Nice that they found that good use for it. Very productive that way.
I love the Bears as great opponents to the Packers.
Yes.
Greatest rivalry in NFL history.
That much is true. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you brought one of the boys down?
Yeah, my youngest. It was his first concert, and he was so excited. It was a great concert. It was very artistic. The mm-hmm. choreography was unbelievable. What we saw up on screen was, it was so different than going to, like, a Springsteen concert. You know, mm-hmm. it was, yeah, incredible.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a over by Cadott here on the Rockfest Country Fest grounds. I know that they have new names now. I haven't learned them yet. But there was some other music festival there this weekend, like all about EDM music.
You know? Oh, you didn't go?
I didn't go, no. Oh. And I definitely got differing versions of it depending on who you talk to. There were a lot of folks that said the crowd was, you know, peaceful. And maybe peaceful for you know, chemically induced reasons, but that they weren't nearly as rowdy as, you know, some of the other music festivals that are up there. Boy, we had discussions this week about the difference between Deadheads and Parrotheads. I mean, there's just a whole culture out there about, you know, live music. And I was talking about watching, you know, Broadway shows in the last segment here. What was it about this particular concert that you wanted to go down to in Chicago?
It was him. It was my son's Christmas. It was my son's Christmas present.
Oh, okay.
Got yeah. It.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's music everywhere, Pat. I mean, in the Valley, in the Fox Valley, we've got mm-hmm. Mile of Music. It's a big 3-day long music festival that features young up and coming artists. There is a big Friday night series in downtown Green Bay on the City Deck. Everywhere you go in Wisconsin in the summer, there is music and so many great local folks. I'll just give a shout out to one of my faves, Pat McCurdy.
Oh,
love
sure.
that. Yes. That's
good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got, I want to get to, because you had a post about Men's Health Week or Men's Health Month the other day, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's Men's Health Month.
Yeah. And just again, provide that reminder to guys not to, I mean,
It even showed up in my dreams last night. People,
I was in your dreams last night?
No, somebody was hectoring me in my dreams last night about following up on the sleep apnea thing. I'm like, the badgering has now invaded my dreams, is where it's come.
You're welcome.
Yes, exactly.
Men are much less likely to seek care for problems. This is documented. So that's why it's important that we've got Men's Health Month. And if I can leave you with one really important thing to remember, things like diabetes and blood pressure problems and cancer, those are things that often sneak up on you that are preventable. And if you can prevent them at an early stage, you tend to do much better in the long run. So that's why every single year, it's so important to go to your healthcare provider, get your blood pressure checked, do all the routine things, just to make sure that there's nothing brewing.
Very true. And so, yes, I have that doctor appointment in 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
So we'll get the update.
You're a good man, Pat Krylow.
Oh, okay, fine. In the daily newsletter today, Christina Laurie included a story about states that, you know, claim to be quote unquote, you know, pro-life. But how pro-life is it if, along with the abortion bans you have in place, you're also among the top 10 states for the highest infant mortality rates, the highest child poverty rates, and the least affordable health care? Now, spoiler alert, as Christina notes, all of those states are run by Republicans. She talks about Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, South Dakota. They lead the country in infant deaths, Kristen, and the numbers for infant deaths, maternal mortality, and more are just downright alarming.
And maternal mortality. We know that moms who live in states with abortion bans are 3 times more likely to die as a result of their pregnancies. We know that these babies are more likely to die. So when Republicans say that they are the pro-life party, it demonstrates to me where that life is.
We're not seeing it in the stats.
It
no.
is not there.
No.
Because, and I've said it over and over again, and I'll say it always, abortion is healthcare. It's complicated. These are complex issues. You can't directly connect the dots. They are hard to talk about. They involve so many different emotions and feelings and values and ideologies, all of that. And that's why nobody can make your personal healthcare decisions except for you.
Right. And the thing is, the source for this article was actually a report in the BBC, because, again, other countries are looking at, allies are looking at us and going, what are you guys doing over here? You know, with women's health and with family health, not to mention personal liberties and everything else that we've already talked about this morning. And I don't have an easy answer, because we know the answers. The answers are better health care, freedom of health choices for women, better resources that go to these things. And it's not that shocking when you don't do those things that we have reports like this one.
Maternal mortality, moms dying related to their pregnancies, that was bad long before all of the current badness, even when abortion was more accessible in this country. But basically, because we don't have access to fundamental health care. Women don't have access to contraception. They don't have access to safe birth in many cases. There are so many different places where we can make a difference, especially in rural communities. I mean, 50% of pregnancies in rural communities are covered by Medicaid. And if we're cutting back on Medicaid because we are trying to give tax breaks to rich people, who will suffer? It's women and children and families in rural communities.
Yeah.
And I can't say that enough, because it's so, like I said, it's so hard to connect those dots directly, but the proof is in the pudding, and it's been there for years and years, and it keeps getting worse.
Over at Courier Newsroom, there is another column I would point people to, a newsletter by Nina Burley called American Freak Show. It's a weekly newsletter that keeps an eye on MAGA extremism and its absurdity. And the Nina's column, this latest one, the headline is, "Ladies, please step out in the parking lot to die, a story of Texas chainsaw misogyny." She writes, "The Trump administration is really sticking it to women. And since so many of the abuses emerged from the test kitchen of women hating that is the Lone Star State, I call this Texas chainsaw misogyny. Texas is always trailblazing new territory and using state power to control women's bodies. They've had on the books for years a sick bounty law that grants $10,000 to any citizen who reports a woman who gets an abortion. Anyone who provides or aids and abets in one, or provides medical abortion drugs. The state even allows men to sue their partners who receive an abortion, as well as any friends who help them do so in court. After the Dobbs ruling, the Biden administration instructed hospitals they had to continue treating bleeding and otherwise endangered pregnant women under the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, or EMTALA. Last week, a Trump edict repealed the Biden guidance. The meaning is explicit. American women are on their own, and the Trump government would rather they bleed out in a parking lot or face a lifetime without working reproductive organs rather than have a healthcare worker help them. And I bring in an obstetrician gynecologist for a little affirmation on this in case those there are people out there going, oh, that sounds rather alarmist and extreme.
Don't think that this isn't happening, because it is. It's just not happening to you right now, and that's the problem. Until it becomes personal, whether we're talking about the economy or abortion or getting a cancer diagnosis, it doesn't mean nearly as much to you until it happens to you. So I can guarantee you that this is happening in Texas. It's happening in Idaho. It's happening in Wisconsin. There's a lot of fear. There is a lot of division over this issue, and people are suffering, and frankly, they're dying as a result of it. It has to stop at some point, but I don't know where the bottom is, Pat. Like, at what point do we as a society say, you know what, this is a difficult situation, but we need to provide health care to people who can get pregnant?
I wish I knew the answer to that as well, but we don't. I keep becoming amazed at the ways that we go backwards. I spoke in the last segment about Watergate, for example, about Kent State, and now I'm going to go back even further. Over the weekend was the 60th anniversary of the Griswold decision. The Griswold decision was a case called Griswold v. Connecticut. The U.S. Supreme Court decided in 1965 that states could no longer criminalize the use of contraception by married couples. Let me say that again for the younger folks out there who go, what? They did what? Yeah, the Supreme Court decision finally stopped states from criminalizing the use of contraception by married couples. And then, Kristen, it was eventually expanded so that, you know, any women, you didn't just have to be married to be able to get birth control pills. That's where we were in this country only 60 years ago.
Hey, I've met women who had to get permission from their husbands in order to get contraception. How crazy is that? But it was not that long ago. And for single women, it was even less. It was in my lifetime. It's really hard to believe that it has only been that short period of time and that this is still continuing to happen. But this is happening even now. We're seeing restrictions on access to contraception, to pregnancy-related care, certainly to abortion care. Again, there is no bottom here. We are backsliding in the wrong direction. And it is so incredibly important for us as people to stand up and say, we're not going to do this anymore. We demand healthcare. We demand pregnancy-related care because we're dying without it.
And by the way, for anybody going, well, we wouldn't backtrack that far. First off, Roe v. Wade is gone.
It's gone.
And when it went away, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, and I'm sure Brett Kavanaugh and some others, but especially Clarence Thomas, specifically cited other cases. They said, well, see, we just got rid of Roe v. Wade. Here's some other cases we need to get rid of. The Griswold case was one of those that was specifically mentioned, along with the case that, you know, guaranteed same-sex marriage. We are very much on a path toward, once again, criminalizing not just abortion, but contraception. That's what this government that's in power right now would like to do, unless there are some checks and balances. Today's history lesson is coming up next, as we always do, mornings, up north and live, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach
reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The anniversary of Jackie Wilson's birth.
Happy Monday, everybody. Woo woo!
Jackie Wilson was born in Detroit this day in 1934, gone way too early back in 1984. We got a lot of birthdays to report today on this, what is it, June 9th. Michael J. Fox, little Michael J. Fox, family time, 64 years old today. So is Aaron Sorkin. They were born on the same day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 64 today. Johnny Depp, happy birthday. 62 years old today. I remember Johnny Depp. Remember 21 Jump Street? He was like the hot new actor on the scene, you know? Mm-hmm. Natalie Portman is 44 years old today. Born this day in 1915 in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a key developer of the electric guitar, one Les Paul. Folks in the 40s, 50s had no idea guitar could do this. And imagine if he could jam today with you know, some of the greats that we've had since then, you're Eddie Van Halen's and others. But a lot of it really started with Waukesha's own Les Paul, born this day in 1915. On this day in 1973, Secretariat won the Triple Crown. And again, you don't have to be a big horse racing fan, but if you want, go on YouTube and look up Secretariat winning the Triple Crown at the Belmont Stakes. And this horse won by, I forget how many lengths now. Was it 50 lengths?
So many. It's ridiculous.
It really was. Let's see, another birthday for today. Born this day in 1954. That makes him 71 years old today. Pete Byrne, the English lead singer of the new wave band Naked Eyes.
I don't really love that all these 80s people are in their 60s and 70s right now.
I know.
Now.
It's going to
be a conflict.
Yeah, something not right about that. Tony on YouTube. Michael J. Fox tried to tell them about rock and roll, but they just weren't ready. That's right. Yep. Let's see. Cole Porter was born this day in 1891 in Indiana. Classic songs like Night and Day, It's the Lovely, Anything Goes, and so much more. What a transition I'm making from Cole Porter's Night and Day to how in this day in 1990, MC Hammer's Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em became just the second rap album to reach number one. Can't touch this.
Can't touch this. Do you still have your MC Hammer pants, Pat?
I never did.
Sure.
By the way, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em, I said the second rap album to reach number one. The first was, Kristen, any idea? What group
Run
had the first
DMC?
Rap? That's a good guess, but no, it was the Beastie Boys. Okay. License to Ill. The number so MC Hammer here had the number one album this week in 1990. The number one single this week in 1990 was Wilson Phillips with Hold On. And finally, on this day in 2007, the number one song was from a relatively new singer, Rihanna. So I guess she just recently announced that she's pregnant again, which is perfectly fine. Love it. But I love the way that it's presented on like the entertainment shows, because people have been waiting for years for her to come up with a new album. And then she was pregnant, and then a couple years later they thought, here comes the album. Nope, here comes the next pregnancy. And so again people were like, okay, it's time for Rihanna to drop that album. Nope, she's dropping another baby.
Remember when she performed the Super Bowl halftime pregnant?
Yes.
And was it big reveal?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. She's been a prolific hit maker.
Oh, I know. And again, like any of these folks, at any point you can say, no, I'm done. It's a lot of work to either write these songs, perform them, go on tour, everything else. So
gestate a child in your womb, also a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I hear. Yeah.
Cassandra on YouTube. All I see when I hear Umbrella is Tom Holland dancing in the rain in a maid's outfit.
Oh my gosh, Cassandra, yes. If you have not seen that video, please look it up.
I don't know if I have. Maybe
it's on
I
a
have.
Lip sync battle.
It was on what?
Oh, I have
a lip sync battle.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the maid outfit, but I do remember Tom Holland. Yes. I definitely have to look that one up. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We mentioned Men's Health Week. This is Auto Service Professionals Day. So thanks to all those folks who can keep our cars going, because they're no longer, you can't just get under your car or open the hood and fix something anymore. You need to be, you have a PhD in computer technology.
Did you used to do that?
Everybody used to do that. Even I used to be, I could fix things in my car once upon a time. Even I could do it. There's nothing I can do there now that doesn't involve having an MIT grad pulling that hood up. And finally, this is National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day.
Yes!
No!
Is that what we needed?
I'm going to do that.
That's
yes.
It's a weed. What are you doing?
It's
rhubarb?
A weed.
I love rhubarb.
Oh, well, somebody had to, right?
Just put a lot of sugar on it.
Yep. I think that's the point I'm trying to make. If it needs that much sugar on it. But hey, if the sugar and the strawberries and everything else get her done. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Let's see. On the one, Tony's right. He's got ew. just you right there. Mm-hmm. And one follow-up from Cassandra on Tom Holland. That man is so comfortable in his skin, and he decided to be sober because he knew what it was doing to him, which, again, kind of related to men's health, you know, alcohol intake and other things that are bad from you.
Yes.
If you can avoid those, you really should. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to State Senator Chris Larson about various bills that have been introduced by Democratic legislators. Not going to pass with the Republican majority, but they send a message about who's out there fighting for you. Two more hours to go as we get rolling on another one of those Monday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A third night of massive anti-ICE raid protests are winding down in Los Angeles. Correspondent Jonathan Vigliotti is there.
It is completely locked down. You easily have hundreds of police officers staged throughout the area. Thousands of protesters yesterday. They've since been dispersed this morning.
President Trump fueling demonstrators' ire when he ordered in National Guard troops. Police in San Francisco reporting 44 protest arrests there. The president's new travel ban on 12 countries begins today. CBS's Torian Small.
The idea behind this, according to White House officials, is to tighten immigration controls because they say this is a national security concern.
Ukraine is reporting the largest Russian overnight drone attack of the war so far. CBS's Elaine Cobb is at the foreign desk.
Ukraine says Russia launched nearly 500 drones overnight, but the Air Force destroyed more than two-thirds of them mid-flight.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.